chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm delighted to have Darren Tully on the show today. Darren is an accomplished financial services executive, coach, management consultant, keynote speaker, and the chief of possibilities at Ignite Happy and author of Live Your Possible. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Darren, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I have been really looking forward to this conversation with you. I've dug into your book and read so much about you. And I know one thing's for sure, we're going to have a lot of fun and it's going to be a really rich conversation. So thank you so much for making time to be on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited and honored to be here with you today, Lisa.
Yeah. So, you know, I always love to start by kind of saying how I meet my guests, right? And I love this. So you sent me an email several months ago, and I don't really know how you got connected, but you said, I recently began listening to your podcast and I'm becoming a huge fan. Okay. So you had me right there. Okay. Because I'm like, okay, tell me more. You said, I enjoy the messages of inspiration. I believe I could be an excellent resource for the show. I aim to ignite happy humans and organizations to experience joyful possibilities with a positive mindset. And you go on to say, you'd been a Fortune 100 executive focused on results, pushing people aside with unconscious bias, and you had an awakening, and you were upside down. And we're going to talk a lot about that, Darren. But, you know, you're described, I love, like in books, I always go to the testimonials. And so I was looking for keywords, and here's how people describe you. You're a multiplier. I love that word. I love multiplicity. You're a multiplier of possibilities. You're empathic. You're vulnerable. You're genuine. You're supportive. You're inspirational. You're authentic. You're a believer. You're inclusion champion. I mean, the list just goes on and on. These are just key words that I picked out, you know, and it seems like your superpower is helping others be their best selves through inclusive collaboration and curiosity. But I'm going to take you back because things were not totally easy for you when you were growing up. You grew up with some amazing parents. But why don't you talk a little bit about the beginning and how you grew up? And, you know, I know your parents were a positive influence on you, but talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for all those kind words, too. It's fun to hear you go through all that. So thanks for that. Yeah, you know, I go back. I recall living in a wonderful neighborhood. My parents were amazing in every way. They were there for me, taking care of me. And I was a child that was actually a premature baby. So I guess I was either excited to come out into the world or I was just ready to really make the most of what could be out, you know, here in the world. And here's the reality is like I've always had to fight through what my parents and the doctors were hoping for me. They were hoping that I would become average one day, which I look back and I always think about how that, what a wonderful goal just to be average, but it was limiting in some ways, yet I understand how the beauty of it in the other ways. And the constant care and belief in me, in my parents, in my neighborhood, because my neighborhood had wonderful families, I had wonderful friends, and you know, they welcomed me. I was a bit of a misfit, right? I'd be walking around the neighborhood, really rocking back and forth. I was nodding, and I was just a bit off. I was a little bit slow to learn, and I got to say, my parents helped me grow and learn in a way that I could never imagine. So I busted through that. I think there's a special point where I literally was with my grandmother, my mother in the back seat, and we were going apple picking, and we were actually returning after picking several bags. And it was a breakthrough moment, because what happened is my mom and my grandmother were giving me apples to twist the stem off the top. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
Yes.
You twist the stem and you do the ABCs. And I was about six. I didn't know my ABCs and I was just behind. And they said, why don't you start singing ABC? I'll spare you from actually singing. So I did that over and over again, and I started to make progress. So we literally went through a whole bag of apples. And, you know, the love and care that they gave me and the belief that I actually could learn that was something that I think I'll never forget, because it really taught me that I can, through persistence and learning, I could grow. And I think it was a breakthrough moment for me to realize I can be past average and I can learn and grow in a different way. And my life changed from that point on.
Yeah, I love that story. And that story really resonates with me, Darren. You and I have not talked about this, but perhaps since you've listened to the podcast, you'll know that our youngest daughter has Down syndrome. And so that story really resonates with me, because everything came slower for her. But it was through persistence, you know, that she finally learned to string sentences together or words together to make a sentence. But it does. And sometimes it takes a different way of teaching. And that was where your mom and your grandmother were brilliant. I know your grandmother was a teacher. I read that your mom was a nurse. So you kind of had that going for you, to have a grandma that was a teacher. But I love that story. You know, and you kind of talked about growing up, you know, in this amazing neighborhood, and you did. I love, like, your friends. You guys were very industrious and very entrepreneurial. I think I read, okay, so my friend Christine Miles, I don't know if you know that name or not, but she wrote the book, What Is It Costing You Not to Listen? And she's a listening expert. Right. And she says she always like talks to people about what they did between the ages of 8 and 13. And that really, when you find that out, that really kind of sometimes gives you a preview into the kind of person that person's going to be. But I think you were like 9 or something and you had a paper route.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But then tell me, you went a step further with your friends and you did something really, I feel like, really genius, to kind of actually make the neighborhood more fun and engaging and collaborative.
Yeah, it was a blast. These friends, Bugger and JK, were my best friends on the street. And I had a paper route at that age. As I started to have responsibility, started to grow a bit more. And what I recognize is that my neighbors were pretty disheveled on the weekends when I would drop off the papers. I get a little bit more now as an adult. Why?
You know, right.
I know what my lives are and what's really going on. Yet back then, I always wondered, what made these people tick? You know, what brought them joy? And I went back to my friends and we said, what can we do? And we said, hey, why don't we ask them? Why don't we create this paper? We lived on the street called Sylvan Avenue. So we called our paper the Sylvan Gazette, naturally, right? And we went back out to my customers and asked them, would they participate? Would they share stories that got them excited, that brought them joy? And to our delight, all of them joined in over time, where people would share stories about, hey, their gardening tips, their recipes that they just tried out, or maybe vacations they went on, or they bragged about their kids or accomplishments, things that really sparked joy within them. And what was pretty cool is people were running us down to actually see when the next paper is coming out, and they wanted to participate in ways they never could have imagined. And here you had some innocent young reporters that were just asking, inquiring, didn't have an agenda, were just documenting their stories. And what was pretty cool about it is we were on a street that was everybody liked each other. We'd wave at each other, you know, kind of half-heartedly. Yet what was happening is people were running each other down, waving each other down to say, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. And to your point earlier, like what we created, I didn't even know until after I reflected in recent years, that what we created is a platform for people to actually connect. There was meaningful connections where people could talk about, they could share, they could be vulnerable, they could express themselves. They felt like a kind of a safety zone where they could relate, or, you know, they could inquire about learning what's different, or maybe there was something they tried that was similar, so they could combine that together. And what was really cool is I recognized is that we were really, you know, working together with our neighbors with genuine interests. We actually cared what they were saying. Again, we didn't have our own agenda. We weren't trying to change their beliefs or their stories. And we just shared what they, you know, what they told us. And it really took off.
Yeah, I love that story. I think every neighborhood needs that, Darren. I really do. Too. You know, I mean, and especially now people are running so fast with their own lives, right? And it's not like when I grew up. I mean, I remember when I grew up in a small town in Kentucky. I mean, people would just like drop in, you know, and just your neighbors would drop in or drop by with some cookies or, you know, just to say hi. I mean, you don't see that as much anymore. And so I really think it's a great way for people in the neighborhood to become more cohesive. And who knows what kinds of awesome connections you can make, and they could go off and do some great things together too, you know, when they learn more. So I love that.
Yeah. I can see people trying different recipes or doing different things and seeing what happens, and they share it back, right? That's all about discovery.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Well, let's get in and talk a little bit about your career, because you were a finance executive. You've been a, oh my goodness, you've been a lot of things. You've been a assistant VP, CFO, VP of Worksite Operations, Lean Business Systems, Mergers Acquisitions, SVP Workplace. I mean, you've done so many things in your career. But it's always been in the financial services. So tell me, how did you get into that, and how did you figure out that that's what you wanted to do when you were a young man?
Well, you know, I started actually as an accountant. So I became a CPA, and I always started thinking that the numbers were important. I always felt like results mattered, and I was very comfortable with numbers and accounting. And I always thought it was kind of the center of business. At least that's what Siena College told me when I went to school there. They said, it's the center of everything, so you might as well do it. So I did it. And, you know, over a period of time, I realized that the results, hey, I could actually impact the results. So I left public accounting and I went into financial services to be a leader, to drive thinking, to drive innovation, those type of things. And again, I think there was a lot of success there with that focus. And then I think things changed.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about that. So clearly you had so much success, and you had arrived in one sense. You know, there was a point where, Darren, you describe your life as being upside down. You know, I think you were at a DEI conference or retreat, and something happening. You call it your great awakening. So can you tell our listeners about that story?
Yeah, it wasn't my greatest moment. It ended up turning to be one of the most special moments for sure. We were at an immersion event. It was a 4-day offsite with a diverse group of colleagues and individuals. And I was one of 5 white male executives, and everybody else was non-white male executive, just to give you a picture. And the first 2 days, we got to know each other in ways that I didn't expect. You know, we got to know what brought joy, kind of similar to being that innocent young reporter. We got to see where people are from, you know, what inspires them. We start to share pictures of our kids, what we want of our kids, and what we want in life. We talked about what we did when we were kids, you know, the games we would play, the things we would do, like the paper or have toothpick races or whatever that might be from growing up. And then we talked about games from our own cultures. And that was fascinating too, because we all had different games with how we would play. And that was actually pretty mind-blowing. It was pretty cool. It was pretty special because we actually started to connect in a really unique way. And after a couple of days, we got to this point where we started to become pretty close and pretty friendly. And around that point, we started to share some of the grievances or the injustices in the world, or how people are treated or feel like they're being treated. And we opened it up. And myself, along with some of my colleagues like me, really didn't say too much. It was a lot of folks saying how they feel like they've been passed over for many reasons, for maybe the way they look, or maybe they're looked at inappropriately or looked at with doubt that they could actually do, you know, different roles. There are some folks that were saying that, you know, they're still discouraged that certain acts are still happening today, like people getting pulled over in the town, white affluent town next door to where I live, which was appalling to hear. There are things like where people are saying they need to change the way they look, the way they speak, the way they come to work. So they're really not being able to be their full selves, their full authentic selves, which, as you know, is something that I truly believe in. So as I started to, you know, listen more intently, I started to realize that I'm part of the problem. I started to realize that I wasn't aware of these things, even though I knew these things were probably happening. I just was in my own bubble. I was ignorant in my own bubble. I was unconscious to what was really happening. So I started to actually get terrified. I started to feel off. I feel like it wasn't living out my purpose. My purpose going into that event and where I was at that point in time was to bring out the best in people around me every day. And what I started to realize, I might have been doing that, but it was for people that were more like me or had similarities like me. And at that point in time, I was really like feeling like I was a fraud. I was found out and the bubble was bursting. And I literally approached the group the next day, the next morning. I couldn't sleep all night. I was distraught. I actually started to cry, which I never believed you could actually share your emotions or cry at work. That's the way I was taught. I'm not saying it was right. I now believe that you can and should. We should share emotions about work. We can get into that separately. What I realized is that as I was apologizing for not being fully honest and not being open to the fact that differences are amazing and beautiful and that I had these unconscious biases that I wasn't aware of. Not that I caused the problems of the world, but I realized I have responsibilities to help fix that and not be part of the problem. So I committed to that group. And when I was doing that, I remembered looking at people's eyes and I saw people with tears. I saw people with probably anger and some with love, some with hope. But what I realized is that the very people I was holding back held me up that day. And I could tell they believed that I was genuine, that I cared, that I had good intentions, yet I needed to change. And one of the things I did to commit to my change is I talk about this pink pen that I use. I use a pink pen with everything now. I sign contracts. I sign birthday notes, love letters, contracts, and all these things that are part of my life. And it's always with me. And what I said to that group that day, this is going to be my accountability reminder to be different, to welcome differences, to be part of the change, and to not let anything fall away from that and everything I do. So every conversation, even my purpose has changed from that standpoint, because I recognized that I needed to be different. And I started to recognize that there's a beautiful light inside of all of us. And I needed to get past the barriers that were blocking me in the past. I needed to welcome people in a different way, back like I was like that innocent young reporter. Because I recognized I've been taught many, many things, as a lot of us have been, about different biases and different things that get in the way. And I needed to share my platform like I did when I was that newspaper reporter back with the Civil Rights Act, because I didn't have any biases then. I was wide open to thinking and welcoming the world in a different way and inviting everybody back in. And that's what I needed to get back to.
That is so beautiful. Well, I've got a good friend, John O'Leary, and he wrote the book On Fire. He's got an amazing story, Darren, if you've not read his story, just an amazing story. But then his latest book is called In Awe, and his whole premise is that we have to get back to the way we were when we were young. Because number one, you didn't know that there were barriers or boundaries to starting a business, or to your point, you didn't have any biases. These are just people in the neighborhood. You want to hear everybody's story, and you found everybody's story interesting and fascinating, So I think that there's a lot of truth in that. I really do. Getting back to just the way we were when we were younger,
Yeah. That's critical. It's that childlike innocence, because there's so many things that we were born with, that sense of curiosity, being able to be creative. Because there are studies, I'm sure this is part of his book, and I'm going to read that. I love that. There's studies around creativity that kids on average that are 5 years old have taken tests around creativity, and 98% of them have passed, showing that they're able to solve things in a different creative way. They did a very similar test with adults. What do you think the percentage was in some of those studies?
Maybe 1 or 2%.
Oh, you're good. You're good. 2%. Think about it. 2%. So what happens? It's like someone's putting in a dimmer switch to our possibilities, to creativity, to our joy in life. And it's this, this blinder, if you will, that's being put on us. It's, to me, it's the bubble that's kind of guarded me, yet it didn't let me expand to see the world differently. And what I recognize is that bubble that I was in actually burst. It actually expanded my eyes, expanded my love for the world, to put my arm around the world differently and invite everybody in. And that's that shift. I could have broken into pieces, yet I welcomed this pain and ache to figure out, how am I going to make a difference? How am I going to change? And it was my inner self. I had to let my childlike imaginations come back and look for the differences and look for the beauty in everybody.
Well, there's one more thing before we take our break that I just want to point out. I love that you carry the pink pen with you, because you had a transformation of just the way you were showing up, the way you believe, what was in your heart, Darren. But sometimes we're forgetful people, And we need physical reminders, I think, of that new way of being. And so, you know, I really do love that too, that you carry the pink pen as a reminder, because, you know, it's easy to fall back into, it could be very easy to fall back into our old ways.
Yeah. Thanks for that. It's helped me really rewrite the narrative of what I want to be known for and how I'm going to impact the world. And certainly has connections to my daughter. And, you know, at the time too, I had joined, after I had the weakening, I joined the Women's Leadership Network, and I had to be more an advocate for women leaders and how I could actually show up for people in a different way and really show my truth. So this was another avenue for that as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Darren Tully.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Darren Tully. So, Darren, I really want to spend the rest of our time just digging into your book. So your book came out. I've got a copy of it right here, Live Your Possible. The subtitles, Ignite Your Happy, Authentic Self, and Live a Fulfilling Life Rooted in Joy, Inclusion, Love, and Possibilities. Sounds like a book that we all need to spend some time in. I love it. But, you know, I told you that I am a big testimonial person. So I always look and see what people have said. And you've got lots of great testimonies in there. But Jane Dutton, University Professor of Business Administration and Psychology at University of Michigan. Here's what she said. And I think this is awesome. Read this book if you want to turn your life right side up. Turn up your life light by using more joyful habits and inclusive experiences. I am looking so forward to digging into this more. So this probably came off of what we just talked about with this awakening that you had and the realization that, you know, maybe more people need to be turned right side up.
Yeah. I mean, we're all going to have different moments where we have our aha moments or it's an awakening, and I realized that I got to this point where I wanted to share something with the world, so maybe they didn't have to go through as much pain as I've had to go through, because it hasn't really been perfect. You know, there's been a lot of learning and struggle, and you know, growing through that is the key here. And when I was, you know, when I had the awakening, I started to look for differences. I started to welcome in things I might not have noticed in the past, things that are always in front of us. I just didn't notice people, or I didn't notice items out in nature. So maybe I was living with awe a little bit more kind of curious about what was happening. And there was this time where I was with my daughter. My daughter was doing some homework, and I was sitting there pretending to do a good job at work, you know, being on my smartphone, and wasn't doing either one that well, obviously. And what happened is my daughter finished her homework. She's like, "Hey, Dad, I'd love to have some dessert." And I said, well, I kind of fought back and forth and said, okay. And we agreed on something, what I thought was a little bit healthier, which was something that was watermelon. It was an Italian ice. So it was a watermelon Italian ice. And so we took the lid off, and, you know, she started to have some. I went back to work on my phone, and she finished, and she was glowing. I'm like, oh, that, you really like that, right? And out of the corner of my eye, I noticed something very different. And it was this lid. It was the back of this watermelon Italian ice lid. And there was Italian ice that was sitting on the lid. It was just sitting in a really interesting shape, and it was upside down. And I took this lid, and I turned it upside down. I said, "Hey, look at this." And she lit up. The child inside of her lit up. The child inside of me lit up. And we were both in awe. And I really was thinking, oh my God, this is it. I know where happiness comes from. Obviously, it comes deep within our heart. And it was really special to have this moment with my daughter. But she was so joyful. And I'm like, this is it. I get so much joy from seeing joy in others, making connections out in the world in a different way. And what I realized, you know, after showing this with her, this lid was not upside down. I was, and I needed to change. So I started to write a business plan about how do I share this moment in the world with the world? How do I help people see that, you know, happiness is an inside job? It's more than that. It's about connecting to it and the actions that we take, you know, with that. And as I started to do that, I started to write down these stories, like the Apple story, like the Sylvan Gazette story, all these stories that add up to how do we actually bring happiness and inclusion to really spark possibilities for everybody. And that's what led to this book called Live Your Possible. And it was at that moment that actually got me to write these down and to be vulnerable and to share these stories out loud. Because it's not as exciting to share that I had unconscious bias. Is what's exciting is to say, you know what? We all can break through change, especially when we think about change as kind of rooting back to our authentic selves. Our authentic selves is what matters. And that's why I want us to think about that with joy. Because when we do that, we could connect with things in a meaningful way in the world. And that's when we could start to build this curriculum of how we actually see things differently. We could slow our world down and we could really embrace the good in the world. Because right now, as you know, there's a lot going on that we could look at and it could hold us back, right? The economy, that pandemic thing, so many, many things. We don't have to go through that.
Like, make we'll us feel hopeless sometimes, you know, hopeless and that, you know, if this is hard, life is hard, you know, but yeah, connecting with those moments. Yeah, I love that story. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I was going to ask you about that. And that happens to be that lid happens to be your logo.
Absolutely. It's our mascot. It's our happy mascot.
It's your happy mascot. And it's just, you know, isn't that interesting too, Darren? I mean, because when you flip the lid over, it's a different perspective.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't looking for it, yet I was ready for it because I was starting to welcome the world in a different way. That's the key. And, you know, mm-hmm. that smile, one height smile. So it has so many meanings. It continues to take shape. And what I loved about it initially, it's, you know, it's a one height smile. It's unique. It's different. And it reminded me how unique and different we all are. And it's sometimes that's hard to accept in itself. And when we start to accept that, we could actually accept our own joy because nobody has the same level of definition for happiness or joy either.
Right.
So there's that connection and reminder every time we see this. And guess what? I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands at this point, that same shape is around us. I've seen it in, you know, different formations around the world. It could be in a donut that I pick up. It could be in soup. It could be out in, you know, those cloud formations I've seen. I've seen it everywhere. It's pretty fascinating.
It is fascinating. And you're looking for it. I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up too, because one of the things, and we'll talk about this, but one of the things that, you know, you've structured the book so well. And I think you said some people have referred to it like a life guide. I said, Darren, this is like a curriculum. This is not just a book that you just quickly flip through. But to your point, you've got in the book, scattered throughout the book, you've got QR codes. And so, guys, I'm telling you, listeners, this book is so worth your while. There are so many resources in this book, but it's a QR code. And so I had looked at a few of those and you have found, like, it could be stones, you know, it could be a stone, it could be an etching in something. I mean, you truly, it could be leaves, you know, the formation of leaves. I mean, you truly have found that same icon, that same logo in just ordinary things in life, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It keeps me smiling. It brings me joy. It reminds me why I'm here. Like, it's another reminder, like this pink pen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seeing that one-eyed smile that we all have this ability to find the joy that's within us and connecting the world. That's what I'm doing. I'm connecting and seeing the possibilities, right? I'm looking on what really matters to me. And I'm hopeful that the listeners and others will find either the same type of thing out in the world or something else that'll remind them every day what to be thankful for and how to connect to the joy. Because we can live with a sustainable joy that we live with every single day, even through darkness, even through tough days. Just knowing we could pull out of that and figure out how we do that with steps that are in the book or activities that are throughout the book, like the QR code. The QR code has been so fun, so much good feedback.
Yes.
And I love it because it, you know, gets us in this moment. We're reading the book and then it puts you into another place to say, wait, I could experience this through an exercise or a TED talk or a picture or something even silly. Because I have a lot of kid book references or even songs, because if you take the time to look at those, there are great messages there for adults. Because I don't know if you've ever sat into the movie theater, like Trolls or a movie, and you're like, wait a minute, there's a message there. And for me, like the, you know, the characters, the villains there,
yes.
They say you can only consume happiness. You got to eat happiness. And a lot of our advertisers actually want us to do the very thing, when the reality is, you know, the trolls say, you know what, we got to figure out how to actually connect with the joy that's, you know, within us. And it sounds obvious, but how many of us are doing that every day?
Yeah. That's really beautiful. Well, tell me about this, because I love the way that you've got the book structured and you've got, you know, habits throughout 15 to 30 different activities and things that you called sprints. By the way, Darren, if you didn't know this, you know, because I'm in the technology world, we use that term in technology too for agile development, the sprints, you know, and but you call it sprints or IPAs, intentional practice actions is what you call it. And so I love that too, because you can read something, but if you do not really digest and eat that, whatever it is that you're, you know, reading there to get it into your DNA, it's going to just fly away. I mean, you're not going to really transform your behaviors. So can you give us just a couple examples of those IPAs? Just a few.
Yeah, that's good. I, you know, there's this sense where, just to back up a little bit, you know, we kind of live in a way that our subconscious minds kind of takes over. So these actions help us to rewire those. You know, there's this component in our brains called the hippocampus. And in the book, I talk about it in a fun way. I call it the happy hippocampus because it's the gateway to our emotions and our activities, right? So it helps us to stay alive and survive in life. Yet it's taking these components, these intentional practice actions, and kind of rewiring the way we live every day. And like here's an example where some people have asked me, like, hey, how do I start? How to be more vulnerable? Like, I'm taught to have the answers. I'm supposed to say, you know, I don't know, and I can't ask people. So one of the items would be, hey, go find something you want to learn that might be different. Like, maybe you want to learn how to play guitar. Maybe you want to learn how to draw. Maybe you want to learn how to play an instrument or play music in a different way, or sing or dance, or whatever it might be. And what I ask people to do in there is to say, just do it for 30 days. Don't try to get it. Don't try to just be right. Try to enjoy it and try to, you know, let yourself be vulnerable. Let yourself fail. Let yourself learn from it. Because failure is not about beating yourself up. I teach people in the book, it's about what can you gain from it. And a lot of this allows the reader to actually practice something, get comfortable with something they're not that good at. And maybe they'll actually kind of ask for help with other people. Like, my daughter's a dancer, so I would ask her for dancing tips because I did that one. And boy, she had a lot of fun with that. You know, another one is playing guitar. What I recognize is I try to learn guitar. I'm in awe with the guitarist in the world, right? So you start to recognize there's something bigger than ourselves. There's people that are better at it, and that's okay. Because when we start to allow that, our guard comes down. And again, we're allowed to expand ourselves to connect with the world in a different way. Like, those are easy ways to connect with vulnerability in that example. Another thing could be connecting with positivity. So when you're in meetings or discussions, try to look in there, what's possible? What's the good in dialogue? Where are people's intention? Assume that they're positive. Because we often go to that sense of doubt, or we start to challenge, or we get defensive, or we say they have their own agenda. I don't know if you've ever been in those kind of conversations, but there's an exercise that says for a day or for 7 days straight, try to just stay positive, or try to be curious and inquire what's behind it. Why? How did people get there? Because you're going to learn something pretty special. And it might not be the exact spot where you all want to be, but I bet you together you'll get to a better spot. As long as you're trying to get it right and not be right with your own views and opinions.
So good. I'm telling you, Darren, we probably need like 2 or 3 podcasts to get through all the things that I want to talk about. But I'm going to ask you just, you know, I want to talk about one chapter here real quick, and then we'll get into something extra. But I love chapter 2's title. Live to thrive, not to survive. And I think really and truly that is probably aspirational for most people. I mean, I think most people would say, I don't want to just survive in life. I want to thrive. You know, and you talk about filling your mind with good things and behaviors. You know, you're going to get more positive outcomes in your life when you do that. But you've got, and I love that, I know the question that you just asked, you know, right then, you know, what would you like to learn? But you've got some questions here on page 60, and I'm just going to read a few of these. And this is just really to help people reflect and, you know, just reflection questions. Am I where I want to be in my life? Am I really happy, or am I happy enough? How could I do more? Am I living out my dream? Am I living out my potential? Do I think with wonder to be curious, or do I feel doubt? You know, do you find yourself saying, I wish other people would change? Smiles are hard to find. And I think spending the time, I always call it having a meeting with yourself. You know, we need to schedule those every now and then. I've got another dear friend. I think he is, I'm going to give Dr. Tom Hill a shout out. You may even know that name, Darren, but this man, I tell you, he's one of the most connected men that I know in the country, but he's 86 or 87 now. Up until just a few years ago, was still running half marathons. I mean, he's just is amazing, amazing man. But he always talks about, and I've yet to do this, but I need to do this. He's like, take a 3-day retreat and just be by yourself. Don't have a cell phone. Don't interact with people. Just meet with yourself. And, you know, it would be great to ask yourself some of these questions, because sometimes we're running so fast, we don't take the time to really kind of assess where we are. And I think that's so good. You got to know where you are, right? Before you want to go.
Yeah. I love the concept of a self-retreat and asking some of those questions. I think it's an awesome idea. I also think that people should know that these are not meant to be negative or to beat yourself up, right? So I have another exercise in the book that just says, hey, look at yourself in the mirror and just say something you're thankful for without looking at yourself and judging yourself. Cause I think we all do have an opinion about how, you know, we look at ourselves in the mirror. And I think just being thankful and showing gratitude is just one simple step that some folks could take just to start that self-reflection, if you will. And if you can't do the retreat, you know, think about the moments where you do have a few minutes. You know, it could be when you're warming up the shower or taking a shower. It could be when you're warming up some coffee or tea or sitting down there to have coffee or tea every single day. Those are 10 or 15 minutes that really could reshape and change your future. And again, it's not changing into somebody else. It's actually changing back into and reconnecting back to your authentic self. Because if we really got honest about who we were when we got here in the world to who we are now, I think there's probably opportunity for us to really light that up and ignite the beauty that's inside all of us, that's waiting to unleash. And I think it's just there to be had. And it's beautiful. And I think we got to spend that time. So I love your call to action there.
Absolutely. Well, it's so good. I would just really encourage, I mean, this book, truly, there's just resource after resource after resource in it. We could talk about pop. We could talk about all kinds of things, but we do need to wrap up here. So, Darren, I need to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I love this question. There's so many things. You know, I do think wonder is the main word. I think if we could live with a bit more wonderment in how we interact with every day, it'd be pretty fabulous. And if you look up the definition for wonder, there's two definitions. You know, the first definition is the negative slant, which is you doubt something. So you wonder, then you wonder with doubt. And there's a kind of a negative slant to that. The other side of wonder is you're curious about something, like what could be, and potentially unexpected or astonishing. So it's, as you know, as a leader, are we leaning on the side of that positive slant of what wonder and wonderment could be? Because it allows us to look at people differently. So like I had to change my purpose, not just helping people like me around me. I need to see the beauty inside of everybody. So it really provoked me to say, wow, what is that? What's that look like? I wonder. And I got to get the best out of that person. What are they able to do? You know, what's that beautiful light? Because I believe there's a beautiful light inside of all of us. And it's my job to help bring that out. Imagine if we all started to do that. You know, we started to put each other on an equal playing field. We'd really be sparking possibilities. We actually would actually discover differently because we'd be open to new thinking. We'd be inviting people to participate in ways maybe we never thought was possible. But I think it's a game changer if we could actually start to think with wonder a bit differently.
Yeah, I just love what you just said. And as you were talking, I was thinking sometimes I do believe that there's a beautiful light in everyone, but sometimes the light gets cloudy, right? And sometimes, you know, as a leader, Darren, I think that we can help people uncover that light. Because things have gotten a little cloudy. Things have gotten a little bit messy in there. And to say, hey, Darren, wow, I see something in you, and help bring that out. You know, I think that's so beautiful. I do. I love that.
And leading by example, to your point, you know, stopping and discussing to say, hey, I really appreciate you being vulnerable, sharing something or sharing an idea. And even if it's not fully where you want it to be or the leader wants it to be, try to build on that, because you don't want to shut down creativity or innovation or discoveries like that, because this is what actually the light that's kind of shielded, if you will, or guarded. If we don't show people that their ideas are welcome, they belong as themselves, and that they have this opportunity and special way about them that could actually help us all get better, especially when we do it together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Better together. Well, Darren, what are you most excited about right now? How can our listeners get involved? How can they find you? We need to talk about that.
I'm excited about a lot of things. You know, there's a few things. Yeah, first of all, I would just say go to my website to reach me. All my contact information is there. You can learn a bit more. There's a lot of resources there that you mentioned as well. So that's ignitehappy.com. Or you can email me at wg@ignitehappy.com. What I'm excited is a few things. I've been recently working with a hospital that's really changed their culture. And they said they're the next WG, which is this watermelon guy, this one-eyed smile. The chief nursing officer just wrote to me yesterday saying, our numbers are phenomenal. And why is because they actually changed the way they work with their people. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, about the importance of how they were connecting. And they're actually starting meetings to talk about what they're thankful for. So they're getting conscious, they're getting current. They're just saying, hey, how do we appreciate each other? Something to get real again, right? And that actually allows people to be vulnerable. And that's really shifting in how they're actually working together. And the patient outcomes are improving. The community responses are just like coming through the roof in a positive way, which doesn't always happen, especially what's been going on with hospitals and all the concerns with burnout and many things. So I applaud them for what they're doing. They've been leveraging the book and some of the curriculum, as you call it, as a guide. And I'm so thankful, and I'm excited to see what we could do, because I think so many of the industries, including healthcare in particular, could use a boost in how we create trust and love for each other. Because I think if we could do that as employees and caregivers, I do think it will help out patients and kind of how we're all living every single day. And I'm also excited about just people taking an understanding of the importance of giving back, especially as we head into the holiday season. Giving back, helping others and helping people in our community. We actually helped out with a Little Smiles event down in Florida recently, where we sponsored one of the children to really feel like a star for a day, because she, you know, struggles through a lot like the other kids. And it feels good because it got them to really be their best self and really shine in a day that was pretty hard for them to actually, you know, get out of bed. And they did the best they can. And we could all learn from their perseverance and our thankfulness for each and every day we have. And that sense of giving allows us to know that we're part of something bigger. And when we do that, guess what? That actually gives us more joy. If we just slow down, think about it, like you're saying, have this retreat, even if it's throughout the day, give a little bit more and connect with other people, we can make a difference. So I'm very hopeful and excited about what we can do. We take this seriously, we slow down and treat each other like humans again. I think there's a lot of upside here.
Darren, this has been so good. This has been so good and so much fun and so rich. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the show. I think you and I could talk for many, many more hours.
I appreciate it. This has been wonderful.
Our listeners, thank you so much again for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc. 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.